الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، we must introspect our daily lives, and self-examination is necessary. The purpose of self-examination, muhasabah, as it is called in the prophetic traditions, muhasabah, self-examination, to introspect the self. And this should be daily. It has many benefits. We have to examine our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the course of the day. Whatever we did, was it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times did we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how often were we obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So muhasabah is very important, that we examine ourselves daily. Think about the ahkam that we fulfilled, the injunctions that we fulfilled, the injunctions that we carried out. This is something that we need to bring into our lives. There are three things which prevent this muhasabah, self-examination. Three things which will stop one, which will prevent one from introspecting the self. One of them is ghafla, heedlessness, to become heedless from the commands of Allah and the worship of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ghafla in the Quran, that many people, they are ghafil, meaning they are oblivious to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to remove ourselves from this ghafla, this state of heedlessness that we are in, and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is nafs. If we do not suppress the nafs, then this will prevent muhasabah, this will prevent self-examination. So we must suppress our desires, we must suppress our nafs. And whenever our nafs wants to do something, for example, if our nafs wants to show anger, display anger to someone, and it is not justified anger, it is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at that moment, the nafs must be suppressed. And to do that is extremely difficult. The only way that it can be done is if one does daily muhasabah, daily examination. And third is bad habits. That whatever bad habits we have, and how do we know what are bad habits, what are good habits? We look at them under the magnifying glass of the Quran and Sunnah. So we look at our actions from the magnifying glass of the Quran and the Sunnah. Then we will notice what are our bad habits and what habits we have that are pleasurable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three things, ghafla, nafs, bad habits, they will prevent muhasabah, they will prevent self-examinations. And the one who can protect himself against these three dangers, then inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah's help, he will attain salvation in this world and in the hereafter. So we need to be aware of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand that this world is a temporary abode. Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, he would walk with a walking stick, not because he was old and not because he needed it. And someone asked him that these same questions, that, you know, you're not old and you don't need a walking stick, but why do you walk with this walking stick? So he said that I walk with it because to remind myself that I'm a stranger in this world and I'm a traveler in this world, and this is not my permanent abode. My permanent abode is in the hereafter. So just to remind himself, if we remind ourselves daily that tomorrow we will no longer be on this earth, and it is likely that we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be held accountable for all that we did, then we will be a lot mindful of the commands and the Shariat. So today's topic was marital relations. This is a very long topic, and I'm going to condense it because it's quite long. So there's a lot of things to cover, and we only have a couple of minutes. So the Shariat has, Islam has discussed hukuk in detail, rights in detail. And this is found not only in the Quran, but also in the Kutub of Ahadith. As a matter of fact, the summarization and the Labb al-Lubab of the Quran as explained by Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori, the great Mufassir, he mentions that the summarization is obedience to Allah, obedience to the Prophet, and serving others, which is hukuk, which is rights of others. So this particular one, marital relations, this is a very significant right and very important. We may have come across the hadith where Shaitan sends his minions and they come back to him. And he asks his minions that, what did you accomplish today? He goes, well, I prevented one from offering salah. I, you know, put the thought of hatred in someone, and various sins where they were really happy with themselves that they made people commit sins. So Shaitan, you know, I've heard this, I've done that, nothing. So one Shaitan, he came and he said that, well, I separated a man and his wife. So Shaitan became very happy at that and said that, you know, you are the one. And he brought him closer and he gave him ikram. You know, he served him, gave him ikram. So from this we understand that the relationship between a husband and wife is a very sanctified and a very praiseworthy relationship. Because if you think about it, prior to marriage, if something happened to either husband or wife, the man or the woman, there is no feelings. But once that agreement of marriage takes place, and then one of the spouses hears that something has happened to either one of the spouses, then, you know, the heart starts fluttering, and there is a lot of thought. And this person is constantly worried. There's a lot of anxiety. And this person, this is from the barakah of marriage. This is the barakah and the blessings of marriage. So if you Google some of the, I just Googled it today, some of the top questions which people ask Google, one of them is that how to be a successful husband. I never knew this until I Googled it, some of the top questions. So how to be a successful husband? Some people give ridiculous and outlandish answers. The answers, you know, they always have best answers. So some people gave ridiculous answers. I'm thinking to myself that to be a successful husband, I can tell you the secret right now, to be a successful husband. Look at the sunnah of the Prophet, and you will be a successful husband. So these people, of course, because they have no relationship to Islam, they're going to give answers which are outlandish and don't conform to the Sharia at all. So all we need to do as Muslims, and we are very fortunate that we simply need to look at the life of the Prophet, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this way we can become successful husbands as well. So looking at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that he was very in tune with the feelings of his wives. Something, and I'm going to go over both. You know, some people, they say that, oh, you know, you always focus on the husbands, why don't you focus on the women as well, the wives? I'll get to that as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very much in tune with the feelings of his wives, which indicated that he would speak to them, he would know their moods, he would know how they were feeling at all times. And supporting this, what I just said, is the hadith which is found in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would tell Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha that I know when you are displeased with me. So she said, okay, tell me how you know this. So, and we've heard this time and again, but I'll repeat over here. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi said that when you take an oath and you are not angry with me, then you take an oath by the Rabb of Muhammad, by the Lord of Muhammad. But when you are displeased with me, you don't take an oath by the Lord of Muhammad. You take an oath saying that by the Lord of Ibrahim. So I know that you are displeased with me at that time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very much in tune with the feelings of his wives, to the extent that he would know when they were displeased with him for whatever reason. Of course, this is part of marriage. There will be times where either spouse will be displeased with the other. But at that moment, that is the time where we must be at our best, and we must try to appease our spouse, our significant other, either by doing ikram. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is very difficult. But for the most part, it is something which does not require much effort. All it requires is a little bit of understanding, a little bit of compassion, and we will appease our spouse. Another thing which comes to mind is that the Prophet ﷺ, whenever they were sad or they were crying, Rasulullah ﷺ would make it a point to console them, to wipe the tears with his own hands. Right? He would take his hands and he would wipe it. So one time Hazrat Safiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was crying. And the Prophet ﷺ came to her and consoled her and wiped the tears from her face with his own Mubarak hands. This also indicates the love that the Prophet ﷺ had for his wife. This is how love is engendered. Love is inculcated and it is engendered by doing these small things. They may seem small and insignificant, but it has a very lasting impact. Because our belief is that love does not come prior to marriage. Love is created in marriage. When a person is married, yes, prior to marriage, there is kalam, there is some speech. You will speak to the prospect, and you will see if there is some compatibility. If there is some compatibility, then marriage takes place. After that, love comes. And this is something that was asked to a sister, that and she was telling me. So she said, one person asked that, oh, you got married? Oh yes, I did get married. So, oh, was it someone you knew? No, I never knew him. It was arranged. Because what? No love before marriage? She said, no love before marriage. Love comes after. Islam, in Islam, love comes after marriage. So love is created. It's not something that comes before the marriage. It is something which gradually increases through time. Doing these small, but we may look at it as insignificant, but it has a lasting impact. Now, this is why the Prophet ﷺ's relationship with his wives was a very profound and very agreeable relationship. So he knew the feelings. He would console his wives when they were grieved for any reason. He would assist in the housework. This comes in hadith as well, in the Shama'il, that he would assist in the housework. He would do everything. Most husbands, what they want is that they want to be, they want their wives at their beck and call during the when they're at home. And this is very inappropriate, and this wasn't the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would assist in the housework, and he never considered it above him. He was a prophet, but he never considered housework to be above his status. And we as well, we should not consider housework to be above our status. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would tell stories to his wives. And I think a long time ago, I went over one of the stories the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained was conveying to Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So in this way, what it does, it helps in creating that familiarity with one another. That when you tell stories and when it's light talk, then you feel close to your spouse. So the hadith, there's a very long hadith in Muslim, as well as Tirmizi, where the Prophet ﷺ explains to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha the story of Umm Zara. So Umm Zara was a woman who had a husband, and for whatever reason, the husband left her. So this was a very long story, and it took the whole night. So anyway, this was the Prophet ﷺ would tell his wife stories. He would share happy occasions with his family. You know, this is also sunnah. This is part of sunnah that we should share happy occasions with our spouse. That when the Ethiopians, when they came and they were doing their exercises and target practicing and target shooting in the complex of the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ took Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha and he showed her that, look, this is what they're doing. So this is also something which is permitted, that we should share. This was a happy occasion. They were practicing. So we should also share our happy occasions with our spouse. Also, we should have endearment, terms of endearment. We should use that. This was also the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would use terms of endearment for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would call her Ya Humaira, and one time he commented on her eyes. She had extremely black pupils and white irises, white corners. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say that, you know, how beautiful your eyes are. So these are also terms of endearment. Many of us, we may feel embarrassed doing something like that or saying something like that if we haven't done it. But this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would do. He would call his wives with beautiful names, honorifics. He would dress nicely. Yes, terms of endearment. Yeah, honey, dear, anything along those lines. He would dress nicely. Right? Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that just how I like my wife to dress nicely for me, similarly, I also like to dress nicely for my wife. This also creates love, and it creates good feelings with one another. Now, these are just some of the things which immediately come into mind. For women, our scholars, they've advised that when the husband comes from work, then coming back from work, it is very difficult and it is very trying, and there's a lot of stress at work. Right? This is something that the Sharia has recognized. So for the women, it is important that they receive their husband in a manner which pleases the husband. Right? So beautiful reception. The reception at the door must be beautiful. So meet the husband with a cheerful face, with a smiling face. There should be, you know, beauty and perfuming the self. This is also part of being a good wife. Right? And the food should be good. It should be made well. Although this is not the responsibility, but ethically, this is an obligation upon the woman, that food should be cooked properly, it should be good, and it should be prompt and on time. And in this way, this will alleviate a lot of stress the husband has felt throughout the whole day. Another thing is that for the husband, when we speak When the woman speaks to the husband, then the voice, beautify the voice. Do not speak in harsh tones. The tone should be, you know, melodious tone. And of course, this is only for the husband, not for non-mahrams. So with non-mahrams, the Sharia clearly mentions that the tone should be different. It should be harsh, right? So for husbands, the tone should be soft, it should be alluring, it should be beautiful, and it should be something that he is captivated with, right? So in this way, this will also create love and desire for one another. The wife should also smell good, right? Physically, she should exercise, just like a husband is obligated to exercise and keep fit. Similarly, a woman is also obligated to exercise and keep fit. The Prophet ﷺ's stomach was even with his chest. Right? The Prophet, this comes in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ's stomach was even with his chest. He did not have a pot belly, which indicated that the Prophet ﷺ was very fit, even when he was old. Nowadays, we see in the masjid that most people, they have bellies which are sticking out. So this is why it is important to play sports and to play games. So in this way, this will keep one fit. So body fitness, nice clothing, bath, hair, all of these things which is part of being a woman, this must be kept in perspective. So in this way, there will be desire for each other. Another thing, and the Prophet ﷺ mentions this, that women, they tend to be ungrateful for the ni'mats that the husband is providing them with. So, and Rasulullah ﷺ said that, you know, you do kufrana ashir, that you don't appreciate the various things your husband is bestowing upon you. And instead, right, even though they may have taken care of you for 30, 40 years, but one day you get angry and you say, "Oh, what have you done for me?" And she's sitting on so much jewelry and so much clothing, and she has a car and she has a cell phone. And at the end, because one, there is a moment's anger, "Oh, you haven't done anything for me. I'm going home." So this is kufrana ashir. This is not permitted. And it is just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women with a variety of emotions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with a lot of sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with the ability to navigate these emotional landmines. Right? Women have these emotional landmines. So men, you know, they have that ability to, you know, try to cross over those landmines or try to, you know, not step on those landmines. So just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created men and women differently. So wives should be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned for them. And they should never express any kind of dissatisfaction that, "Oh, you have not done anything for me in your whole life, and you're like this and you're like that. And when I was living at my parents' house, then I got so much." So these are the things that women and wives, they need to be mindful about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa afidhamu alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you.